Right. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. I'm okay. I'm on. Got the thumbs up, so I'm on. Amen. Thank God for this church. Amen. We've been saying for a while now that we are a place where God is honored, Jesus is exalted, and the Word is taught as the final authority for the life of the believer. Amen. I just want to share a quick word with you, then we're going to get into the message this morning. And I just want to share Jeremiah 29:11-13. I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out for you to take care of you, not to abandon you, to give you the future you hoped for. When you call to me, when you come and pray to me, I'll listen. When you come looking for me, you'll find me. When you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else, I'll make sure you won't be disappointed. God says this is His degree. And I shared this word a few months ago, but I felt, well, I went to the office to get it because somebody needs to hear this today. And so He's saying to whoever today, when you call to me, when you pray to me, I'll listen. Everything that you need is found in me, your provider. And this is the season of release, church. There's sometimes when it seems like God comes close to the earth and just breathes. And I sense that there has been a shifting takes place and there is a sense of release right now. Last Sunday, God gave us a word that if the circumstance or the atmosphere around you seems unfavorable, God says this is the season that I'm making it favorable for you. And the reason that happens is somebody has grabbed a hold of the Word and started believing it. It's not that God didn't want to do it, and it's not that He's ever stopped breathing or He's ever stopped off in favor. Amen. Somebody has grabbed a hold of the Word and caused that favor to manifest. Amen. Because we're always under an open heaven. And what causes us not to sense that release of the open heaven is because we stopped believing. God has never stopped giving. We have stopped believing and we have stopped receiving. And so He says, this is the season of release. Some of you have gone through so much the past few years, few months, few weeks, that you have found yourself hiding out. It's like you've been saying, if I can just hide out long enough, this too shall pass. But God says to you today that it's not in your hiding that your help comes. Amen? It's not in your hiding that your help comes. A spirit of heaviness, it's like putting on mourning clothes. You have mourning clothes on. It's like you're in a state of grieving, a state of sadness, because you long for that which has not come, whether it's a financial blessing, whether it's a healing in your body. And when you have mourning clothes on, it's like you're in a state of grieving, a state of sadness, because you long for that which has not yet come. It's like looking at others at things to bring you fulfillment. And the enemy has come and said, if you were living right, if you did this, that, or the other, this would have already happened. God says, I'm coming to bring you out, and I will not let you go. God has got you in His grip today. The things that He has promised you will surely come to pass, and He's not about to let you go. Amen? The Word says, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness in Isaiah. The Word has come after you to bring you out. The Word has come after you to bring you out. The Word has caught up to you. And what do I mean by that? I mean that you have stood and you have believed and you have persevered and you have pressed until finally that which you have believed is overtaking you. The Word has come after you to bring you out. When you call on me, when you come and pray, I'll listen. When you come looking for me, God says, you'll find me. When you get serious about finding me, wanting it more than anything else, I'll make sure you're not disappointed. Glory to God. So we as a church have come out from a spirit of heaviness that have lingered over us and caused us to want to hide out. And God says this is a season of release, that you are no longer to hide out, because that is not where your provision comes from, and hiding out. But the word that we have stood on for the past few years that the church has been under attack, that word that we have stood on has caught up to our believing. And now we are receiving the promise that God says, has already said, is ours as a church. Since there's been a shift and a flood of water refreshing has come upon us, now is the time to jump in. Don't linger on the shoreline any longer, because the water is moving. This church was established on Isaiah 61. And he says to us, it's time to revisit the vision again. To declare, to decree the vision again, to proclaim the vision again. He says, I have not changed my mind concerning this place or those that I have placed here and those that I am bringing here. Go back and read Isaiah 61 this week. Revisit again. And if this is where God has placed you, grab a hold of that vision and run with it. Yes. Amen. Stop hiding out and say, well, we want it like it used to be, when God has got something better. And that's what we're going to be talking about, is forgetting those things which are behind us. Forgetting those things of how it used to be. Forgetting those things of things that we've done that we regret. Even the things that we've accomplished. Sometimes we don't go for better or pursue God more because we're living on yesterday's accomplishments and yesterday's victory. When God says, I've got better than where you are walking and where you have walked. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, Peter, who do you say that I am? Peter said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Not, it's not important what other people are saying who Jesus is, but who do you say Jesus is? Do you say that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God? And he said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So I'm here to tell somebody today, no matter what you're going through or will go through in the future, the gates of hell should not prevail against you and your household. You continue to stand on the word. Hallelujah. He says, I've got a people that I've called out, a peculiar people, a royal priesthood. You are different from those around you in the world, because you were chosen, hallelujah, to be different and to be peculiar. So today we're going to be taking our scripture from Philippians 4, Paul writing to the Philippian Christians, and he was at that time in the prison at Rome. He'd already lived what we read about in the book of Acts, and he'd been on missionary journeys, established church after church, and seen convert after convert, miracle after miracle. And there's so much that we have and can learn from the life of Paul and his writings to the church. The story of Paul is a story of redemption in Jesus Christ, as testimony that no one is beyond the saving grace of the Lord. Aren't you glad you're saved today? Amen. So no matter your past, we understand that Paul's early life was marked by religious zeal, brutally killing Christians and continuing persecution of the early church. The later years of Paul's life shows a marked difference as how he lived his life later than before. Paul had an experience one day on the Damascus Road that we read that changed the course of his life and caused his name to be changed from Saul at that time to Paul as we know it today. The Bible says in Acts 9 that immediately he went and he began to preach about Jesus. That was a dramatic salvation experience. Amen. In Philippians 3:6, I'm going to read down quite a few of this because it's good. It is so good. It says, for Philippians 3:3, for we who are born again have been reborn from above, Paul says, spiritually transformed, renewed, set apart for his purpose, and are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God and glory and take pride and exalt in Jesus Christ and place no confidence in what we have or who we are in the flesh. Though I myself have some grounds for confidence in the flesh, if I were pursuing salvation by works. Paul said, if I was pursuing salvation by the works alone, I'd have a lot to boast about. Confidence in the flesh, if I were pursuing salvation but works. If anyone else thinks he has reason to be confident in the flesh, that is, in his own efforts to achieve salvation, he said, I've got a lot more than that. So he goes on and begins to say, listen, I have far more circumcised when I was 8 days old, nation of Israel, tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, an exemplary Hebrew, as to the observation of the law, a Pharisee, as to the zeal for my Jewish tradition, a persecutor of the church, and as to righteousness, supposed right living, which my fellow Jews believed is in the law. I did it good. But whatever former things were gains to me, I thought then, these things once regarded as advancements in merit, I have come to consider as a loss, absolutely worthless for the sake of Christ and the purpose which he has given my life. But more than that, I count everything as loss compared to the priceless privilege and supreme advantage of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord, growing more deeply and thoroughly acquainted with him, a joy unequal. For his sake, I have lost everything, and I consider it all garbage so that I may gain Christ. He said, everything that I've accomplished, everything I've gained, the life that I once lived, now that I know Christ, I count it as nothing. My goal is to know him personally and intimately. Believing and relying on him, not having any righteousness of my own derived from my obedience to the law as his rituals, but possessing genuine righteousness, which comes from faith in Christ Jesus. And this so that I may know him, becoming more thoroughly acquainted with him, understanding remarkable wonders of his person more completely, and in the same way experience the power of his resurrection, which overflows and is active in believers, that I may share the fellowship of his sufferings by being continually conformed inwardly into his likeness, even to his death, dying as he did, so that I may attain to the resurrection that will raise me from the dead. So I believe Paul is saying, I want to get all that God has for me. And in order to do that, I have got to do away with all that in the past. I've got to do away with the life that I lived and following the law to the T. And now that I have known Christ and have experienced the transformation on the Damascus Road and all the accomplishments I made, establishing churches and seeing people saved, missionary journeys, I've still got to count all of that as nothing, because my main goal is to know Christ. My main goal is to become intimately acquainted with him. And for the last three or four Sundays, somewhere in there, God has been talking to us about a relationship. And that's what it boils down. When you begin to have a relationship with God, a relationship means you relate to someone on a personal basis to get to know them. When you begin to understand who God is and how much he loves you, everything in life then becomes as nothing. Because that's your ultimate goal, is to pursue him and to know him. And the more you know him, the more you love him, and the more that he shows that love to you, and you just want to do right. It's not that you have to. You just want to do right and to do what is right. In verse, let's go on and read here, then we'll get into the message. Not that I have already obtained this goal of being Christ-like. Paul says, I haven't got it all together yet, but I'm working on it. When you were born again, your spirit man changed. But what is changing us now into the image and likeness of God is our character. Do we have integrity? Or do we do what we say we'll do? Are we people of honesty? Is our word our bond? That is what we're changing day by day, day by day. The inside of us has been changed. Working on the outside to make us into Christ. Image. Amen. He said, I've already been made perfect, but I actively press. That means doing something so that I may take hold of that perfection or that maturity. And that's what we're striving for, is maturity in Christ. I don't want to see a 12, 13, 20 year old run around with a bottle in its mouth. And we've got a lot of people that are still holding on to the bottle. Time to let it go. So that I may take hold of which Christ has took a hold of me and made me his own. Brothers and sisters, I don't consider that I've made it my own yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on to the goal to win the heavenly prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature, who are pursuing spiritual maturity, should have this attitude. And if in any respect you have a different attitude, God will make that clear to you. Only let us stay true to what we've already attained. In other words, don't go back. Hold on and stay true to what you have already accomplished, but at the same time, realize you haven't got it all yet.
Right.
Amen. That we're growing and we're maturing in God. We're not. We cannot evaluate where we are in God by other people. Because we've all come from different places in life. We're all spiritually maturing in different levels. That's why we judge no one in the decisions they make in life, because you don't know where they're at. Because at one time we've all made some stupid choices, even after we were saved, filled with the Holy Ghost and prayed in tongues every day. But thank God we're not where we used to be. And praise God, if we keep growing, keep getting in the Word, allowing that to be our final authority, this time next year we won't be where we're at now. Isn't that awesome? Woo!
Yeah.
Just think, a year from now you could be a totally different person, because that on the inside is working on the outside to make me who God says I already am. Paul says, I haven't arrived yet. I haven't arrived yet. Amen. None of us have arrived yet, but praise God, we're on our way. We're not where we used to be. So don't fall into the devil's trap and getting satisfied where you are spiritually. Because when you do this, you will cease to grow. There will be no desire to go any further than what you are. Well, I'm saved, and praise God, I'm going to heaven. I'll just live a crummy life down here and not believe God for anything, but at least I know I'm going to heaven. When we do, we will cease to grow, and the Lord always have. And one thing I've always prayed is help me have a teachable spirit. Never allow me to get to the place that I know more than other people. Even when somebody says something sometimes and I'm thinking, oh, I always allow myself to remain open to that possibility that what they're saying could be true. But if it doesn't line up with the Word, that's when I toss it out quickly.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. So always maintain a teachable spirit that you can be taught more than what you know now. Stand on the Word. Light it up with the Word. Then if it doesn't pan out, that's what you need to do. Throw the pan out. And whatever's in the pan. Amen? So always have a teachable attitude. Paul's hope to be like Jesus. Paul says, I press on. That's active. I press. That's an action word. Amplified Bible says, actively pressing on. You're doing something to lay hold of that which Christ has laid hold of you. You're actively doing something. You're getting into the Word. You're praying. You're witnessing. You're actively pursuing that which God has said in His Word. He followed after. Paul followed after the things of God in order that he might be transformed daily into the image of God that we said talked about a while ago. Paul did not pray. And see, what we've got to understand, this pressing and this pursuing is not within our own strength. I can do all things through Christ who has strengthened me. All this is done in the strength and power of the Holy Spirit as He teaches you daily what to do. And then when you do what He says do, He'll tell you something else to do. Amen? So, you know, the Bible says work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Okay? There are things in the Word that are plainly written in red that you don't do.
That's right. Come on.
There are some things that you don't do because it's a personal conviction. There are some things you don't do because you know that it will not only hurt your witness, but it will hurt someone else's walk in life.
Amen.
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 So I don't know where I was going with that, but that was good.
That was a good rabbit,
okay?
Write that down.
Paul did not press out on his own will or his own. He pressed on to become like Jesus, because Jesus showed up on a road of Damascus one day and rerouted Paul's entire life. Aren't you glad the day that Jesus showed up in your life that you thought you were going somewhere and He rerouted your whole life because of that one time experience? Now you can either choose to go
with where he has taken you, or you can just choose to stay where you're at and die and go to heaven. But let's make a difference while we're here. Let's make a difference while we're here. Paul used action words to describe his Christian race in this life. He says, I follow, meaning to run swiftly, meaning in order to catch up to. Amen. Paul's life now was to lay hold on Christ because Christ had laid hold on him. Amen. He knew his life had been redirected for a purpose as God had a plan for his life. When he was out there doing what he was doing it with zeal because he thought at that time that was a right thing to do. But when Jesus comes into your life, things totally changes. That which you thought was right to do no longer becomes right to do. Because God has given you a different perspective on life. And that which you thought was is no longer is. That's not correct English, but that's okay. Don't get stuck at salvation. What are you trying to do about what God saved you for? How much have you grown? When you look back, self-evaluate yourself. How much have you grown? Because it's not the word has not been taught here. But it's what you do with the word when you walk out those doors. Because today is the first day of the rest of this week, not Monday morning. That's why I don't get the Monday morning blues, because my day starts on Sunday. And if you let your day start on Sunday, you won't have the Monday morning blues, because you've heard the word on Sunday. Amen. So the word. I don't know where I was going with that either. Oh, hallelujah. So don't get stuck at salvation. So, oh yeah, what are you doing about what God saved you for? He did not save you for you to run around and say, I'm a son and I'm a daughter of God. He saved you for purpose and he has a plan for that purpose. He saved you, redirected, and rerouted your life. In order to lay hold of, Paul says there is one thing that I do. And he says, I forget what lies behind me, and I reach forward to what lies ahead. Now that word forgetting is awesome. In the Greek language, it literally means to reflect or to care nothing about. To cease to be affected by. The past is what it is. It's the past. We don't let it hinder us from being used by God. Because we consider this nothing. We consider our past as nothing and we don't reflect on it. You know, I'm sure Paul had nights when he thought, I'm out trying to save the very people that I was trying to kill. So I'm sure he had a lot of remorse in his life. But he would have never gave us the word he gave us if he lived a life of regret and if he kept looking behind him. You know, on the cars, in the side view mirror, it says objects appear closer than what they actually are. And you'll never get anywhere in life looking through your rearview mirror. No. Try driving. No, don't try. Think about driving home today, and all you're doing is looking in your rearview mirror. You never look straight ahead. I was trying to preach this to Kenny last night, and of course, you know. He said, well, I could drive home just looking at my rearview mirror at the white line. And I said, no, you wouldn't, because I'd be over there to smack you. But anyway, and that's what the enemy wants you to do, is to keep looking in the rearview mirror. And as long as you're looking in the rearview mirror, your past is going to look closer to you. And God says, I forgot all about it. Why don't you forget about it? Why don't you count it as nothing? And you know, one time I was saying that driving a truck, you know, semi, that if you get the front straight, then the trailer has to follow. And I was saying that to him last night, and he said, well, that's not 100% accurate because it's what kind of load you got on the back of the truck. Come on. I thought, oh, thank you for sharing that with me. That makes a whole other message. Yeah. You'll never get through life carrying the load of the past. No matter how straight you tried to drive that truck, if that load starts shifting or it's not tied like it's going to tie, when you turn the wrong way, it's going to fall. Get rid of the heavy load. Amen. If you'll get rid of the heavy load, forget about the past, because God's already put it under sea of forgetfulness to remember us no more. The only way we remember it is we let the devil remind us that, and he is the master of rewind. Amen? Yeah. But if you'll get rid of that heavy load and say, it's in the past, I forgot about it, Keep your eyes ahead. Quit looking in the rearview mirror. Your past will take care of itself.
Yeah.
It just will take care of itself, and you won't have to do nothing about it. Amen? So Paul had mercifully hunted down and executed God's servant. How could he possibly be fit to serve? He forgot the past.
Come on.
He forgot the past,
yeah.
And God could use him.
Yeah.
Aren't you glad that God can use people with past?
Amen.
Quit looking at the rearview mirror and just keep going, and the past will take care of itself. There's another thought that we're going to be talking about here, and we talked a little about it before. Is quit looking at how the other people are running in the race of life. You know, when these marathon runners start out to run, their goal is that finish line. Their goal is seeing that big sign that says finished. And the only way that they're never going to reach that finish line is to stop.
That's right.
Amen. Some people run faster than others. Some people are jogging. Some people are walking. And I've seen some people literally crawl across that finish line.
Right.
Why? Because they did not give up.
Yes.
And you know what happened when they fell down? They didn't go back and start over at the start. They got themselves up. And just recently, I seen something on a news feed. There was somebody running, and there's two or three people came up behind them and helped them. And right before they got to the finish line, they let go of them. That person crossed that finish line.
Right.
And that's what Martha was talking about, fellowship in the body of Christ, rubbing shoulders with each other, that I pick you up when you're weak, you pick me up when I'm weak, and never, ever quit. Never, ever, ever quit. And wherever you're at today, you don't have to pick yourself up and start over. Amen. All you have to do is pick yourself up. But don't pick yourself up to go back to the starting line. Just pick yourself up and look straight ahead, because there is a mark before us. Amen. That's all God wants me to say today. So I'm going to stop there. Forgetting about what's behind, getting rid of the heavy load, stop looking in the rearview mirror and keep going and never, ever, ever quit. Amen. Stand to your feet this morning. Father, we thank you for your word today, that you've not called us quitters, but you've called us winners in this race of life. And we stand before you, Father, with clean hands and a pure heart today, declaring and decreeing that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that no weapon that was intended to destroy us shall come nigh our dwelling, because we have trusted in you, our Lord God. In the midst of not understanding a lot of things, we choose to rely upon you, God, as our source. And we're so thankful for your word that gives us new light into our life to be led and directed by your Holy Spirit. And we're so thankful for that today, God. And as we hear that voice that's calling from the deep, that says, walk this way, for I have established your going forth. And he says to not look at the chaos that may be in the world as they are living outside of my covenant. But you are my covenant, inside in my covenant, my chosen ones. As I have purposed, so shall it be. For I am God of this covenant that was ratified by the blood of my Son, because he paid the ultimate sacrifice. For you to have abundant living now, walk in what I have already given you. Be free, my sons and daughters, to live above and not beneath. And I just decree and declare God's favor on you this week, that you walk in God's abundance in everything that you do, and allow that spirit man inside of you to burst forth as you become more and more and more Christ-like in your everyday living. Just take your everyday living and offer it to him as a sacrifice. I count you blessed, and I count you prosperous, and I count you the healed of the Lord. And the church said, amen.
Amen and amen.